I'd like for you to open your Bible to 1 Samuel chapter 25. I really prayed about whether I should have a specific message just in response to the Supreme Court, or whether I should continue with our series on David. And I just felt like the Lord wanted me to do that, and we'll see where we go from there. We've kind of set our course and already let you know what we believe about these things. And I may make reference to it along the way here. But we want to look at 1 Samuel chapter 25. Because, you know, if you think about your life, God allows things to happen and He brings people into your life for good or for ill. In 1 Samuel chapter 25, there are many messages. I would love to preach them all, but I can't preach them all. There's the message there about David. And you know, David was, he stumbled, he was stopped, and almost did a terrible thing, but then he was supplied. And we'll see that as we go along, see what happens there. There's the story of Abigail. Brainy and beautiful, but loyal to her husband and a great example of one who kept her, you know, she was a victorious woman who was a peacemaker. She makes a difference. And then there's Nabal. Nabal is where we're going to focus this morning, because there are a lot of different kinds of heart attacks. You know, we spend a lot of time and money to keep people from having heart attacks, and we talk about preventative maintenance, and you know, probably some of you are taking certain pills, you're taking your CoQ10 to keep that heart working right, and you're doing all these things to try and prevent a heart attack. And you know, we ought to do what we can. But there are different kinds of heart attacks. And Nabal has the fool's heart attack. He's a fool. And that's what his name means, fool. And so, I want you to avoid a fool's heart attack. That's the message this morning, is avoiding a fool's heart attack. We read these verses this morning out of the bulletin. You'll see them. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 5 says, "A wise man will hear and will increase in learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel." But notice verse 7. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." But what's the next phrase? "But fools despise wisdom and knowledge." A fool doesn't listen to instruction. A fool doesn't want knowledge. They want to do their own thing, their own way, and they don't want to listen to anything that has to do with God. They leave God out. In fact, Psalm 14 and also in Psalm 53, it says, "The fool has said in his heart." Now, we've added "there is," but essentially the fool has said in his heart, "No, God." The translators added, "There is no God." But essentially what a fool is doing is he's saying no to God. He doesn't want God. He doesn't want God in his life. He doesn't want God in his thinking. And I would submit to you folks that we have a government that is foolish, because they're trying to push God out. And you can push God so far, and God says, enough! And when God says enough, you better watch out. There's no reason that God has to keep America here. And so what do we do about it? We do like Abraham. And we pray that there'll be enough righteous to preserve our nation. And we get busy winning people to Christ. And we pray that God will turn His wrath. And in wrath, remember mercy. And that He'll pour out His blessing by way of a great awakening that will turn men back to Him. That's all we can do. Pray and publish the gospel and stand for what's right. Now, I want you to follow along here as I begin reading in 1 Samuel chapter 25. And Samuel died. And all the Israelites were gathered together and lamented him and buried him in his house in Ramah. And David arose and went down to the wilderness of Paran. There was a man in Maon whose possessions were in Carmel, and the man was very great, and he had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife Abigail, and she was a woman of good understanding and of beautiful countenance, but the man was churlish and evil in his doings, and he was of the house of Caleb. And David heard in the wilderness that Nabal did shear his sheep, and David sent out 10 young men, and David said unto the young men, "Get you up to Carmel, and go to Nabal, and greet him in my name. And thus shall ye say to him that liveth in prosperity, peace be both to thee, and peace be to thine house, and peace be unto all that thou hast. And now I have heard that thou hast shearers. And now thy shepherds, which were with us, we hurt them not, neither was there aught missing unto them, all the while that they were in Carmel. And as thy young men and they will show thee, wherefore let the young men find favor in thine eyes, for we come in a good day. Give, I pray thee, whatsoever cometh to thine hand unto thy servant and to thy son David." And when David's young men came, they spake to Nabal according unto all those words in the name of David, and ceased. And Nabal answered David's servant and said, "Who is David, and who is the son of Jesse? There be many servants now a days that break away, every man from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh, and I have killed for my shearers, and give it unto men whom I know not whence they be?" So David's young men turned their way and went again and came and told him all those sayings. And David said unto his men, "Gird ye on every man his sword." And they girded on every man his sword. And David also girded on his sword. And there went up after David about 400 men, and 200 abode by the stuff. Now, we're going to stop the story here. And we'll move on as we go along. But here's the situation. You have Nabal, who is he's a wealthy man. He's got 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and it's kind of, you'd think about harvest time, it's shearing time, and they were in that situation, and so he's preparing to take the bounty. And you begin to notice here about Nabal. And so I want you to acknowledge the first point of this message so that you can avoid a fool's heart attack. Acknowledge your advantages. Acknowledge your advantages. Who is Nabal? consider what he has going for him. He has a good family. Look at verse 2 and 3. It tells us that there was a man. It says that he really comes from a good family. He's from the house of Caleb. You remember who Caleb was? Caleb came into the promised land. He claimed the mountain. Of all the 12 spies, he and Joshua were the only ones that said, the land is good, we need to go in. And so Caleb was a man of faith. And in fact, it says of Caleb that he wholly followed God. He wholly followed Jehovah God. But it doesn't seem that Nabal got any of his ancestors' faith. He's not following. He's got a good family. He's got a good line. He's got a good heritage. He is of the line and family of Caleb. But when I say this to you, your family may be a big advantage to you, but it doesn't make you. You can come from a good family and be a fool. You can have good parents and good background, good grandparents, and you can be a fool. So you need to take advantage and recognize what God has given to you. And notice the family background. And then he had an excellent wife, Abigail. Abigail. Now this is an unlikely match. Perhaps it was the Oriental custom of arranged marriages, and so that's how Nabal got Abigail. We don't know how it happened, but Abigail, she's beautiful. And she's brainy. She's got intelligence. She's a great catch. You know, brains and beauty, that's wonderful. You get both of those. And she had them both. She's prudent. She's generous. She's devoted to her husband. She distinguishes her wisdom. When there was trouble, notice verse 14. But one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, "Behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to salute our master, and he railed on them. But the men were very good unto us, and we were not hurt, neither missed we anything, as long as we were conversant with them when we were in the fields. They were a wall unto us both by night and day. All the while we were with them keeping the sheep. Now therefore know and consider what thou wilt do. For evil is determined against our master and against all the household. For he is such a son of Belial that a man cannot speak to him." Then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves and 2 bottles of wine and 5 sheep ready dressed and 5 measures of parched corn and 100 clusters of raisins and 200 cakes of figs and laid them on asses. And she said unto her servants, "Go on before me. Behold, I come after you." But she told not her husband Nabal. Why didn't she tell Nabal? Because Nabal would have said, you can't go. I don't want you going. She didn't tell him because she is on a mission to save her household and to save her husband. And so she's got this sense of prudence and understanding. And she takes counsel and she prays. And she's a tremendous example here. You know, when a man's heart has been on evil, the contact with righteousness doesn't always help. It sometimes makes it worse. Ever notice how some people they kick against anything that's right? They don't want anything to do with it. They don't listen to counsel. And so she knew what kind of husband she had, and she didn't tell him. She just went to make peace. So here is a man who has good family background. He has an excellent wife. He enjoys immense prosperity. verse 2 tells us that he has a great number of sheep and goats, and he has a nice home. And then the place of this possession, you know, possessions don't make the man. You have 3,000 sheep and goats and all of that, but that doesn't mean that you've got wisdom. We don't know. We don't know if he inherited this or if he was just a shrewd businessman. We don't know how he got his wealth, but he's got wealth. So he has prosperity. Look how he lives. Look over at verse 36. And Abigail came to Nabal, and behold, he held a feast in his house, like a feast of a king. And Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunken. Wherefore she told him nothing, less or more, until the morning light. She went out and saved Nabal's life, and while Nabal should have been thinking about what was going on, he's throwing a party. He's living it up. It's all about Nabal. It's not about what does God want. It's not about what God's doing. It's not about anything like that. So you need to acknowledge your advantages, and here was this person with all of these benefits. His language reveals him a little bit. He's crude. He rails on David. And the servant said he railed. He railed on David's men. He probably was a man who had slaves and servants, and he didn't treat them very well either. So here is this man. He has great possessions. He has been blessed with the things of this life. He has a wife that he does not deserve. He's got a heritage that is wonderful. All of this abundance should make him thankful. Don't you think? Look to Psalm 91. Or excuse me, Psalm 92. Psalm 92. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto the name of thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. Upon an instrument of 10 strings and upon the psaltery, upon the harp with a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad. Through thy work I will triumph in the works of thy hand. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. But now notice verse 6. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. The crude, the rude, the foolish man does not praise God. He parties. He doesn't honor God. He has his own thing and goes his own way. Who is Nabal? Nabal is a man of great advantage, but he doesn't acknowledge the God of his goodness. He doesn't recognize that God has blessed him. You go back to Proverbs and look at Proverbs 1 and verse 32. Proverbs 1 and verse 32, for the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall what? Destroy them. The prosperity of fools shall destroy them. So it doesn't matter how much you accumulate, how rich you are, or how rich your nation is. A rich nation can be brought down to nothing because it gets so far in debt and so out of tune with God that God says enough. God says enough. Now, we look at this and realize he had all this advantage, but he didn't acknowledge it. You know, we have a rich heritage in America. And we're going to celebrate the 4th of July and the birth of this nation. And we will sing, God bless America. But what are we doing to bless God? What are we doing to show that we love God? How are we living for Him? Are we playing the fool as a nation? We need to think about that. If we want to avoid destruction, we need to acknowledge the advantages that God has given us. And then this man needs, needed to look beyond appearance. You need, if you want to avoid a fool's heart attack, number two, look beyond appearances. Look beyond the appearance. We see that Nabal, he has heart problems. He has heart disease. That's going on, and it's going to kill him. It's not apparent in first appearances. He's partying. He's prosperous. He has a lovely family. But the name, Nabal. Later in the story, Abigail tells David, look at verse 25. Look what Abigail tells David about her husband. Let not my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. Folly is with him. You stop and think about what he's saying. His name is, so is he. Nabal, his name. What does his name mean? His name means fool. That's what his name means. Go back to verse 3. Now the name of the man was Nabal. The name of the man was Nabal. And then notice what it says. But the man was churlish and evil in his doings. And he was of the house of Caleb. He is churlish. That means hard, harsh, evil in his doings. He's a man that has pushed God out of his thinking. He's a difficult man to work with and to speak to. He won't listen to counsel. His attitude and his actions will portray how his heart is. He evidences no thought of God as the living, ever-present one. No thought of God as the living, ever-present one. I wonder if our Supreme Court really thought about the living God as they were making their choice. The living God, the true King of Israel, the author and preserver of life, the giver of all His blessings, the moral rule to whom He's put us under. God is the one who has ordained marriage, folks. And God hasn't changed it. And no Supreme Court decision can change it. God has set it forth what it is. And we need to stop and think about our God, and we need to honor Him. Look over at Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 27. Proverbs 3 and verse 27. Withhold not good from him to whom it is due, and when it is in thy power of thine hand, do it. There's a Bible principle, a Bible parable. Here's the truth. If someone has done good for you and you have the opportunity to do good for them, you ought to do good for them. What had David done for Nabal? David had actually protected his sheep and protected his shepherds, and he had been, they said, a wall. He was a wall unto us, and we never had any problem as long as David and his men were there. And they treated us well, and they did right to us. And David is simply coming saying, listen, you're experiencing your bounty. He didn't come right away. He waited till it's time of shearing, till it was a time of rejoicing, till the harvest had come in. And David comes and says to Nabal, Nabal, listen, just share a little bit with me. Now, had David done Nabal good? Yes. Should Nabal as a If he has been thinking about God and thinking about what God wants him to do, you know what he would have done? He would have said, sure, give them some food. Give them some help. Help them out. Send enough for the 600 men. He would have done something about it. It was in his power to do it. He had the ability to do it. But he is leaving God out. The servant. We read it in verses 15 through 17. The servant gave the good report. Nabal could have turned to the servant, to a shepherd, and said, hey, Do you know anything about these guys? Do you know anything about David, this David? David's reputation. Why did David say, tell them that David, that you're my servant, that you're my soldiers, that you tell them that David sent you? Tell them. Why? Because David knew his name was a name recognition, but Nabal doesn't want to recognize anything that has to do with God. And so you have this response of evil because he doesn't evidence any thought of God or any desire to please God. The fool has said in his heart, no, God. Nabal is a fool. No evidence of care for God's will. Look over at Proverbs 12 and verse 15. Familiar verse, maybe? The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. He's not taking counsel. He doesn't want counsel. And he thinks it's all his way. So here is Nabal. And so we see him. And he doesn't evidence any thought of God. Secondly, there's no care or little care for others. No care or little care for others. He's slanderous to David and his servants, suggesting that David was disloyal to Saul. You go back and notice what he says. Verse 10, and Nabal answered David's servants and said, who is David and who is the son of Jesse? There be many servants nowadays that break away every man from his master. He's implying that David was disloyal to King Saul. He's implying that David is not doing what's right. But the reality is that God is at work in David's life, and God has made David king. He's not serving yet. He's been running for, it'll be 10 years before he becomes king. But there's no reason to disrespect him because he's been doing no harm to Saul. None. And he disrespects him and he says this about him and he slanders him. Notice in verse 17. In verse 17, notice what we have here. Now therefore, know and consider that what thou wilt do. For evil is determined against our master and against all his household. Here's what the servant said, the one that's talking to Abigail. For he is such a son of Belial that a man cannot speak to him. Think about that. That word Belial means worthless. He's so worthless. You ever try to talk to somebody and every time you try to talk to them, they blow up, they don't want to listen, they have their own opinion, and they don't want to tell you, they don't want to listen to what you have to say. That's the kind of man that we're dealing with here. You can't talk to him. He won't listen. And notice in verse 21, now David said, surely in vain have I kept all that this fellow hath in the wilderness, so that nothing was missing of all that pertaineth unto him, and he hath requited me evil for good. You know what's happening to David? David's getting angry. He got angry when he heard all of this, and he said, that's enough. I did him good, and he's doing me evil, and I'm just going to go wipe him out. Now, I have to tell you right away, David's anger was not right. And Abigail is going to show him that his anger was wrong. And David is going to say, boy, I'm so thankful for Abigail coming, because if she hadn't come, I would have killed the whole lot of them. And I'd been sorry about it later. But he was angry. But you see, David can be talked to. David can be entreated. David will listen to counsel. David will see things and understand them. But not Nabal. Nabal won't listen. Nabal won't hear. Nabal won't respond. Right. Because he's a fool. He's left God out. He doesn't want to listen to what God has to say. Turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10. Look at verse 18. Notice what it says. He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. He that uttereth a slander is a fool. What was he doing? He was slandering David. And the Bible says that he was a fool. Look at verse 21. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for want of wisdom. No wisdom. He should be helping. Instead, he's not. He's destroying. Look at chapter 17, Proverbs 17. Look at verse 13. Whoso rewardeth evil for good, evil shall not depart from his house. What did David say Nabal was doing? He's rewarding him evil for good. What does the proverb say? It says that when you reward evil for good, evil's not going to depart out of your house. You're in trouble. And then we go back to Proverbs 1 and verse 7. It says the fools despise wisdom and instruction. No care for God and His will. No care or little care for others. And thirdly, if you want to avoid a fool's heart attack, don't be like Nabal. He lived for himself alone. He lived for himself alone. Look at verse 11. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed for my shears? My. It's all about me. Know people like that? It's all about them. And here he is. He's living for himself. When he should have been concerned for his household, when his wife was pleading for his life, he is partying. Nabal's having a feast. Indulging himself, voluntarily getting drunk. His drunkenness, his voluntary extinction of reason. You know, there's a reason the Bible tells us to stay away from drunkenness. Because when you're in that state, you have no sense. No common sense. No reasonableness. You know, I have on a few occasions had the opportunity to try and share the gospel with a drunk. It's really useless. Sometimes they'll tell you anything you want to hear, and then the next morning they don't even remember that you were there. You say, when have you had occasion? Well, I won't tell you their names. No. You know what? It's when you ride with the police, you bring the drunks in. They're in the drunk tank. You can go in and talk to them. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of time until they're sober. But you have this situation. So Abigail knew it was a waste of time. She came back, he's drunk. She said, I'm not telling him anything tonight. I'll wait till in the morning. And so here you have this. He has no care for God. He has no care for others. And he's living for himself alone. And when you look at this, he's very much like the rich fool that Jesus talks about in Luke chapter 12. In Luke chapter 12, I want you to listen to verses 20 and 21. Now, I know if you've been in Sunday school, you've covered these verses not too long ago. But in Luke chapter 12, look at verse 20 and 21. It says, get chapter, right chapter, I'm in the wrong chapter. Here we go. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. It's all about me. It's all about myself. And he doesn't have God in his thinking. The heart of this man was such that he alienated his friends, his servants, and even his wife. She knew she couldn't talk to him. But yet she was loyal. A wife that was loyal. She fulfilled her duty. She sacrificed. She was willing to give herself for him. Yet she knew what type of man he was. She spared him from David's vengeance. But she could not change his heart. God has to change the heart, doesn't he? And God will change the heart if the person is willing to humble themselves and come to God. To avoid the fool's heart attack, acknowledge your advantages, opportunities that God has given the giver, and look beyond your apparent condition to your heart, the attitude towards others, and your attitude towards God. And finally, the third thing that you need to do to avoid a fool's heart attack is beware of camouflaged happiness. Beware of camouflaged happiness. You know, of false happiness. We see this man Belial. Look at verse 36. And Abigail came to Nabal, and behold, he held a feast in his house like the feast of a king, and Nabal's heart was merry within him. Bible tells us his heart's merry within him. But where did the merriment come from? Where was he getting it from? You stop and look at, and the Bible tells us, for he was very drunk. He was very drunk. There are happy drunks and then there are sad drunks. You know, it's true. I mean... some of the most miserable, hateful people are when they're drunk. And then there are people that, when they get drunk, they get happy. And, you know, some wives might say, oh, it's better to have him drunk. It's the only time he is happy. You know, others say, no, don't let him drink. That's when he beats me. Alcohol is never a friend to anybody. Never a friend to anybody. But I want you to understand here that inwardly, externally, he was happy. The alcohol had changed his countenance, changed his manner of acting, and he was the life of the party when he was drunk. But you got to look beyond the life of the party. Consider what is the condition of his heart. What's the condition of your heart? What is it that's going on? What is he living for? He was living for himself. And I want you to see the contrast here. David, he's a believer. He was about to be tripped up and act foolishly because he said, gird your swords on, we're going to go and we're going to take them all out. And he was angry. You know what I say to you? Every Christian has the potential of acting foolishly. We have the potential of not thinking through what we're doing. And David was about to leave God out of it. And Abigail came and talked to him. Abigail made the difference. We come to the truth that his life was David's life was in God's hands, and he lived in God's purpose, and he allowed God to exercise his work in his life. And in fact, he will come to the place where he'll say, oh, I'm not going to do anything to Nabal. I'll leave it up to God. You know, we need to leave it up to God. And that's where David is going to go and what's going to happen. But he was sensitive to sin, and he confessed and he confronts the truth. And when he's confronted with the truth, and he humbles himself. Look at verse 24. Verse 24. This is when Abigail comes. She bows herself to the ground. In fact, let's back up to verse 23 because we haven't read this yet. And when Abigail saw David, she hasted and lighted off the ass and fell before David on her face and bowed herself to the ground and fell at his feet and said, "Upon me, my Lord, upon me let this iniquity be. And let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thine audience and hear the words of thine handmaid." Okay. Right away, what she's asking for? She's asking for a hearing, and she takes the place of Nabal and says, "Let his wrong be on me." She is becoming a peacemaker, and she's trying to save lives. Now notice what happens. "Let my Lord, I pray thee," verse 25, "I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal, for as he his name, so is he." She's just speaking the truth. "Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I thine handmaid, saw not the young men of my Lord, whom thou didst send. Now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, seeing the Lord hath withholden thee from coming to shed blood, and from avenging thyself with thine own hand, now let thine enemies and they that seek evil to my Lord be as Nabal. And now this blessing..." In other words, you know what she's saying? Don't take it out on Nabal. Go to your enemies and deal with them, because I'm coming to make peace with you. Will you hear me? Will you allow me? And she knows what's coming, and so she's asking for that. Verse 27, "And now this blessing which thine handmaid hath brought unto my Lord, let it even be given unto thy young men that follow my Lord. I pray thee, forgive the trespass of thine handmaid." Remember what she did? She said, "If I'd have been there, I'd have taken care of this. But Nabal, I didn't hear, I didn't see him. Let the iniquity be mine, and now forgive me. I'm accepting the responsibility, now forgive me." Was she the responsible party? No. You know what Jesus did for you? Jesus said, "I'll take their sin. Let me pay for it." He wasn't guilty of anything. He was without sin, but he took our sin. He made peace with God through the shed blood of his cross. What a God we have. Oh, what a God. He says, "I pray thee, forgive." She said, "I pray thee, forgive the trespass of thine handmaid. For the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house, because my Lord fighteth the battles of the Lord." You know what she's saying? I know who you are. I know that God is in your court. I know that God's for you. I know that you're going to be blessed of God. I know you're going to be king. She's telling, instead of railing on him, she's saying, "You're God's man. And evil hath been found in thee, not been found in thee all thy days." She said, you didn't break away from King Saul. You haven't done anything bad to King Saul. She's reading underneath all the lines and said, "You haven't done anything wrong. Don't do something wrong now that you'll regret." And notice, "Yet a man riseth to pursue thee and to seek thy soul." She's talking about Saul. "But the soul of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of life with the Lord thy God." Oh, don't you love that? Your life's going to be bound up with God, and he's going to take care of you. Hey, isn't that the way to live your life? In the bundle of God? Aren't you glad that God loves you? Is your heart right with God so that people will look and say, you know, God is with you. The Lord's with you. He's going to continue to be with you. And so she's pronouncing this blessing. "And the soul of thine enemies, them shall he sling out as out of the middle of a sling. And it shall come to pass, when the Lord shall have done to my Lord according to all the good that he has spoken concerning thee, and shall have appointed thee ruler over Israel. She said, I know who's going to be king. You are. And God's going to bring all of this about. She is so on it here as she talks about what God's going to do. And so David acknowledged when he heard all of this. He acknowledged it. And notice what he says. And David said to Abigail, verse 32, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee this day to meet me. God brought you into my life. God has this going on. Thank God that he brought you. Thank God that... Has God brought anybody into your life to bless you? Has God ever brought anybody into your life to keep you from doing something you're intent on doing? And when they stopped you, you said, Praise God. Thank God that he brought you. Thank God. And so here is David. See the contrast between him and Nabal? Nabal, you can't talk to him. Nabal doesn't want to hear it. Nabal's going to do what he wants to do. But David says, Oh, it's even a woman talking to me. But she's got the right words. Hey, I have a woman that talks to me all the time. And she's got the right words. And God gave her to me. She's a helpmeet. And hey, men, we're foolish if we don't listen to our wives. Plus, we get cold supper. Listen to them, you get some hot supper. You know, it really works. Listen. Have that close relationship. He's listening to her. Notice verse 33, And blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou, which thou hast kept this day from coming to shed blood and from avenging myself with mine own hand. He said this was... You stopped me from doing it all about me. I was going to avenge myself. I was going to do it. I was mad. I was up to this. And it was going to be done. And he says, You stopped me. It's a wonderful thing when we recognize that God's in something and that God is trying to stop us from something that we will later regret. God was in it. And he saw God in it. And he's so thankful for what God was doing. Now, what about Nabal, though? Nabal is hard-hearted. He's not like David. David's tender-hearted. Notice verse 34. For in very deed, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, which hath kept me back from hurting thee, except thou hadst hasted and come to me to meet me. Surely there had not been left unto Nabal by the morning light any that pisseth against the wall. There wasn't going to be anybody left in the household. So David received of her hand that which she had brought him and said unto her, Go in peace to thine house. See, I have hearkened to thy voice and have accepted thy person. David let God work in the situation. And David responded to God's messenger. He saw Abigail as God's messenger. God sent you. I've listened to what you said. It's God's word. It's what God wants. You know, do you ever stop to think that God uses people to give you godly counsel sometimes? And if you're wise, you'll listen to the godly counsel. But if you're foolish, you could end up with a fool's heart attack. Notice what happens after the next morning. Verse 37, here's drunken Nabal. The next morning, Abigail comes to him. But it came to pass in the morning, verse 37, when the wine was gone out of Nabal and his wife had told him these things, that his heart died within him, and he became as a stone. You know what? He had a heart attack and a stroke all at the same time. A heart attack and a stroke. a real physical heart attack because of the spiritual hardness of his heart. And then a stroke. You know what? It was too late for Nabal to do anything about it. God worked. God took care of things. Notice what happens in verse 38. And it came to pass about 10 days after that the Lord smote Nabal that he died. He had the stroke. He didn't get better. 10 days later, he's dead. Why? Because he was a rich fool. You remember the rich fool in the New Testament? You know what the Lord said to him? Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Nabal's lesson, to avoid a fool's heart attack, prepare. Be prepared. You know, he was overtaken by sudden death, unexpected. He suffered the natural penalty of the course that he was pursuing. He went to his grave without honor. In contrast, you have Samuel who died the first verse of the chapter, and all Israel came and honored him. Nabal, there's not any honor for him. He died as a fool. It says in John 3:36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Be wise this morning. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust Him. You don't know when your life is going to end. But if we trust the Lord, live for the Lord, and love the Lord, then He can bless us with a long life and an honorable life. But if we reject the Lord and we don't want to have anything to do with Him and we say no to God, then we can find ourselves under the wrath of God. You know, because David listened, because David was willing to allow God to work and bring someone to his life that he would listen to, notice what happens. Notice what happens in verse 39. And when David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, "Blessed be the Lord that hath pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal, and hath kept his servant from evil, for the Lord hath returned the wickedness of Nabal upon his own head." You know what David said? David said, "I was going to do this. God kept me from doing it. Praise God, He kept me from doing it. And God took care of Nabal." And Nabal, he sowed, and what happened? He reaped. God gave him what he was living for, and He gave him judgment. And notice now, "For the Lord hath returned the wickedness of Nabal upon his own head." And David sent and communed with Abigail to take her to him to wife. And when the servant of David were come to Abigail to Carmel, they spake unto her, saying, "David sent us unto thee to take thee to him to wife." And she arose and bowed herself on her face to the earth and said, "Behold, let thine handmaid be a servant to wash the feet of the servants of my Lord." She's humble. She says, "Let me wash your feet. These are David's servants. Listen, relax. Let me serve you." And Abigail hasted and arose and rode upon an ass with 5 damsels of hers that went after her. And she went after the messengers of David and became his wife. And David also, it says, took Ahinoam of Jezreel, and they were also both of them his wife. But you see what happens here? God blesses him and blesses David. And so you have the people in this story. You have Nabal, camouflaged happiness, headed for destruction. You have David about to take things into his own hands, and yet responsive to God's rebuke and to God's intervention. And he allowed God to change his direction and change his action, and he listened to the counsel. And then you have Abigail seeking to deliver others from destruction and delighting to serve those that are in God's will. And she did all of that. She exercised faith. And you stop and think about it. Where are you today? What's going on in your life? Are you a Nabal? Well, that can change today. You can hear the Lord speak through His Word and say, you know what? I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. And you can put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And you can leave the distinction of a fool who says no to God and become one who is blessed of God as you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Are you a David? You're a Christian. You know the Lord. You're living for the Lord. But every once in a while, something happens and gets you all out of whack. And you're rushing into judgment. And you're rushing in to do this or do that. And you just need to listen to the counsel and slow down and say, okay, thank you, Lord, for slowing me down. Thank you for stopping me. Thank you for blessing me. And listen to the counsel of God's Word. Are you an Abigail? Are you an Abigail? You're a peacemaker. You're aware of what's going on. You see those people that are headed for destruction, and you're trying to deliver them from that destruction, and you're doing what you can to make a difference, and God will bless you as you seek to make a difference. Now, I'm going to tell you, we need some people like Abigail in the United States of America today. This country needs some peacemakers and some people who are going to go out here and plead with men to trust Jesus Christ and to do the right thing. We need that because there are a lot of Nabals who are bent on the destruction of this nation. But we can make a difference. You know, God can take care of the Nabals if we'll be like David and Abigail and seek His face. Let's let God have His way in our lives. Let's be like David, responsive to what God's saying. Let's be like Abigail and have some wisdom and see the situation.